Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. We want to pick up where we left off on Wednesday night. I shared with the men yesterday in breakfast. I said one thing we want to get clear as we started the breakfast is that Wednesday's night's teaching was not about whether or not women should be working. Wednesday night's teaching was about whether we're going to obey God or not. And you can put whatever topic you want to it. But the real issue is, are we walking in the fear of the Lord? And are we a people that are walking in obedience and keeping the commandments of God in this generation when the prophetic word says in the last days, many shall depart from the faith and will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we see these great doctrines of devils manifesting themselves. The original attack of Satan was upon the house, the home, and it continues. And the attack is on broken order in the church, in the homes today, or we can say it another way, that secret power of lawlessness. So anything in our lives that is antinomian, anything in our lives that opposes the Word of God as He's spoken it to us, for whatever reason, is being generated by that demonic power, that satanic power, the spirit of Antichrist. And so this is what we're going to be facing in these last days. And it's going to be subtle things, beloved, not the obvious. It's going to be those things, the little foxes that we permit in our lives. And as we were in men's breakfast, just sharing with the men there that we've got to be careful as those that are overseeing our homes to see how subtle many of these things are. And to see where the origin is. And the origin is in the inability or the lack of choice would be a better way to say it, of those of us in marriage, in union, in our families, in our community here, to fulfill the role that God placed us in. And so as we look at many of these things, I see what we're facing in our homes here in this church and in this fellowship is, again, that broken order, a breakdown of the men failing to keep their God-given roles as the priests of their homes, as representatives of God. And much of that because of the influence of society around us today. And we see all of these things that are coming in constantly against us. The weights, the sins, the scripture says, that does so easily beset us. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of stuff that enter in and do what? And so here we are. Every decision we make, beloved, should be in defense of the Word of God in our lives. The clarity of knowing I'm in the will of God. I am walking in the illumination that God has given me. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. So how many things can we know that we should be doing? We're not doing them. We're excusing ourselves. We're justifying ourselves. And we think that it's not sin. How many of these areas in our life is God going to allow to accumulate until all of a sudden we realize, hey, I'm living in disobedience? And many of us don't have problems with, oh man, that indiscretion of disobedience. I really shouldn't have committed adultery. I know it's not right, but you know, circumstances are difficult, and that's why I lied and cheated and stole. Now we look at these obvious areas and we think, well, that would be a very casual approach to sin, wouldn't you say? But how about loving your brother? How about loving your wives? How about living out in our family, our God-given roles that are so clear in the scriptures, and yet we can justify somehow this type of a behavior? We can see God-given roles, and because of the pressures of society, the pressures of life, or the lust of things, we begin to justify our carnality, our worldly pursuits, and think that because everybody's doing it, it's not sin. Because it's socially acceptable, it's not sin. And the moment we begin to make those choices, we find ourselves in the book of James, being hearers of the word and not doers, we have what? Deceived our own selves. And that's a very dangerous place to be. Ecclesiastes. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes and pick up where we were and what God has to say so succinctly in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's get down to it, okay? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Isn't it interesting that the Lord isn't concerned with all of the circumstantial situations? He's not taking into account what culture you're living in, what socio-economical strata you occupy. He's not taking in the American dream. He said, here is the conclusion of the whole matter as it pertains to citizens of the kingdom of God. Rich to poor, male, female. Here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen. We're going to stand before Him and we're either going to hear well done or we're going to hear depart from me, I never knew you. There's only two paths. Jesus has made it very clear to us. We all know it. We can all quote it. There are many that are going to say to me, Lord, Lord. And He's going to say, I wasn't your Lord. You were. Depart from me. I did not give you my word to take under advisement and to apply as you see fit. I gave you my word to obey. Amen? Amen. Hence, He is Lord. We say that a lot, don't we? We refer to Him as Lord. And we keep our commandments. And we pursue our dreams. And we justify our carnality. Beloved, this is not something you hang on the wall as a slogan. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Amen? Now remember what holiness is. Holiness is coming out from them. Holiness is turning your back on the world, the kingdom of darkness. Holiness is being offended by, appalled at, a hatred for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we're living in a time when the church at best, the majority of the church, I should say, at best is lukewarm, which will cause them to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth. And in the midst of all of this, God is looking for a holy remnant. God is looking for a people that are willing to die to themselves on a daily basis. God is looking for a people seeking to be rich in the heavens, praise God. And we live in the most dangerous part of the world. Every day you and I wake up here in Sodom and have choices to make. And I'd like to encourage some of you to run back to Abraham and go back to that great cloud of witnesses and go back to godly men and be followers of those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises of God. Amen. We've talked so much in the last days about the arrogance of a lot and thinking that somehow because of his relationship with Abraham, it was a sufficient relationship with God. Now the Bible calls him righteous Lot. But the Bible also refers back to that righteousness being conveyed to him through his union with Abraham. And it's very important that we have our union back with the godly cloud that has gone before us. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. 21st century America does not in any way diminish the word of God and the way it's supposed to be walked out. And so we see then that God says, here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now God's given us one thing to do. It's made this concise again by Jesus in the new covenant. What is the great commandment? Love God. Amen? And your neighbor as yourself. We see in the scriptures, and he makes it, you know, pretty clear to us in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Go ahead and turn over there for just a moment and we'll use these verses as introduction to continue on from Wednesday night. Passages that we're familiar with, but I believe the Holy Spirit needs to make these alive to us again today. As we go back and we see in the preceding chapters the continual rebellion of Israel, the warnings against self-exaltation, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Oh, beloved, we're at a place right now where Romans 12 must become a daily function in our lives. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world in any way. Their goals and their treasures and their idols cannot be ours. Their ambitions, what they pursue, cannot be what we are ambitious for. We're a separate people, a holy nation, that peculiar people called to show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds that we might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As you asked the question this morning, would you say you're in the perfect will of God? What's in there that you know to do that you're not doing? We talked Wednesday night about the fact that many of us have deceived ourselves, and we, with all conviction of heart, will stand before man and God and say, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. And the response is, then what is that bleating of sheep that I hear in my ears? When we're told to cut Agag up, cut him up. When you're told to stone the rebellious child to death, stone them to death. When you're told not to be unequally yoked, then don't yoke up with the world, whether it's in marriages or businesses or anything else. Our God is an awesome God. We sit so smugly and so secure. And I want you to know something, as we'll look in Deuteronomy here in just a moment. When the people of God truly confronted God at Sinai, they shook, their knees smote together. They didn't even pretend to think that they could approach a holy God. And they told Moses, go and hear what he has to say and come and tell us and we'll do it. Now, beloved, if we are not instantaneously convicted and repent and turn from what God is challenging us with in His Word, we are not obeying, we are taking under advisement. There is no place to weigh out consequences. If I do that, what'll happen to my job? What'll happen to my health insurance? What'll happen to my home? Who cares what happens to those things if you're in right standing with God? I talked to some men after the breakfast. I'll share a few things with you, and don't think that it's an individual that I'm talking about. This is a conglomeration of different people. I'm just presenting issues. And so I was confronted with these circumstances. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but here's my situation. Now, here I am as pastor hearing someone from our congregation, in fact, numerous from our congregation, share with me the circumstances that keep them from obeying the Word of God. And here I am as a pastor, living in affluence, blessed, and hearing stories about, well, you know, if two of us don't work, here's going to be the consequences. And because of this, because of insurance policies, because we've received counsel from our friends that we're not getting any younger, so therefore somehow we have to come up with savings, and we can't save unless there's multiple income. And at our age, we should be buying a home because it's a great investment. And we're getting older and these different things. And I could go on and I could give you other examples. And they stop and I look at them and I say to them, what does the Bible say? Now, I know some of you get irritated with me at times because I'm not going to speak toward these specific situations. What does the Bible say? Can I ask you a question? Do you have food and raiment? And are you content? Here is the answer to the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen? And I would be very careful if I was some of you giving advice to other brothers and sisters that are advising them against the directives of the Word of God. I would encourage you to read Matthew chapter 5 again and understand that those that are great in the kingdom are those that do the Word and teach others to do it. And those that are least in the kingdom and will come under the judgment of God are those that teach those not to do the Word of God. I want to ask you a question. Who do you think the policy holder for the Apostle Peter was for his health insurance? And you know, we live in a day, or the Apostle Paul. We live in a day when men will fill convention centers with Christians and tell them that we are a generation illuminated by the Word of God that have greater faith than Peter or Paul ever had. And this is what a lot of these word conventions are talking about. Who do you think you got the revelation from? You're talking about men that spoke with tongues more than y'all. Amen? We're talking about men, Stephen, men full of the Holy Ghost and power. We're talking about men who walked through the streets and they laid men out on the sidewalks. Peradventure, their shadow would fall on them and heal them. And according to the book of Acts, we are part of that same church. And I want to ask you what they would do. We make so many excuses for ourselves and our lack of faith and our fear. It's only one church. There isn't a 21st century church. We're joined up with those guys. We're joined up with these first century guys. We're joined up with the guys who in chapter 2 were filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 3 were doing miracles at Gate Beautiful. Chapter 4, they were receiving the first persecution for preaching the name of Jesus and the power of God. Chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are judged, and then great miracles begin to happen at the hands of the apostles because the church was being purified. We're seeing Stephen in chapter 7, prepared for martyrdom, face shining like an angel, praise God. This persecution of the church drives Philip into Samaria and the great revival that takes place, and it goes on and on, miracle after miracle. People walking in faith, praise God, fulfilling the purposes of God, and we're part of that church. And they weren't taken up with getting the bigger and better house. They were giving everything they had so that they had all things in common, so that the common needs were met of the church. And many of us sit here and say, if it came to that type of persecution on us, we would do that. Really? What evidence do you have of that? And all we're doing is asking ourselves a question. Are we what we think we are? Where in the scriptures is leave given us because we live in 50124 or 20415. What serves it? I'm liable to be quoting that Beverly Hills one or something. I don't know. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. There are so many of us in here this morning that if our health insurance was taken for us, the thought of it causes some of us to break out into a cold sweat. My uncle and two of my cousins lost my uncle got away with his pickup and his clothes on his back as his house burned to the ground in Paradise, California. And two of my cousins. He's 90 years old and lost everything he had. As I was talking to my brother yesterday, I said, just call us. If we can help, whatever we can do will help. He's the third boy of the group. My mom's 94, my aunt's 91, he's 90. The little baby, the tag along, is 81. I'll tell you, you don't have that stuff guaranteed for tomorrow. What are we trusting in? And as we were asking the question on Wednesday, what are our children going to trust in? Are our children getting further away from the world than we have? Or are we in fact guilty of dragging them into the world? I'm talking about places, philosophies. Where our treasure is where our heart is. Bible. Amen? 101. And so the scripture speaking to us in verse 12, chapter 10 in Deuteronomy, he says, Israel, what is it that God requires of you but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in what? To love him? To serve the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. To keep his commandments and all of his statutes. And whether we like to think it or not, that voice comes up inside of so many of us so many times. We know it's not true, but the devil continues to throw those fiery darts and say, God doesn't care about you. God won't take care of you. You better take care of yourself. God's holding out on you. God says right here, it's for your good. Amen. If you'll keep these commandments, it's going to be for your good. You can then go over to Deuteronomy 28 and read about the blessings and the cursings. We don't like to admit it, but in reality, these fears, this lack of faith, and that becomes two of the different aspects. Those two phrases we're so familiar with, beloved. Without holiness, you won't see God, and without faith, it's impossible to please Him. What do you think? So when we make little statements like we did Wednesday night and it shakes your world, what are you trusting in? Now you've got to understand where I'm coming from. I'm coming as someone who's representing God's position. Where would I come from in the natural? Here's where I would come from in the natural. Every wife ought to be working. Every child ought to be working. Everybody, I want every person in the church down to 12 years old working and tithing. And you know, we speak it that way, but tragically, that's a lot of what is going on in the church. People aren't being told the truth because of the fear of men and the consequences of telling people the truth, what it costs them. I've got one job, try to get everybody in here to heaven. That's my job. Your job, men, is to make sure you and your family gets to heaven. How you doing? There's hard decisions to be made. There's costly decisions to be made. Let's go on with the discussion. I'm older. I'm now, you know, in my 60s, you know, and what should I do? Sell my house and go back and rent a small apartment? I'm not going to tell you whether you should sell your house and go back and rent an apartment. I'm going to tell you to keep the commandments of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. And I am not going to give God the crumbs of my life. He is an awesome, holy, loving God. As we heard the utterance this morning, as Lou was speaking forth, a God who has loved us in that way and been merciful, how can we do anything but fully love Him in return and respect Him? And so we look at these passages and we have to ask ourselves the question then, are we fulfilling these mandates? Keeping the word of God. The wise man of Matthew 7 we saw that built his house on that rock. What was the rock? He was a doer of the word of God. He heard and kept the commandments of God. And because of that, nothing can shake our lives. The most mature and spiritual are among us are those that keep the word and teach others too, even when it hurts. Amen. I won't go get off into the other principles right now, but do you think there's anything naturally easy about having affluence and telling somebody else? That they might have to make some decisions that would put them very close to that place of having food and raiment. What else can I say? But to be a doer of the word. And the reason I can do that is because the affluence I do have is from doing the word of God. I haven't robbed anybody. I haven't been any way manipulated people. If anything, it's the exact opposite. We've driven a lot of money out of here. I'm going to tell you the truth. Whether it hurts you and hurts me. And so let's move away from some of these specifics again for just a moment and move back. And we talked about, you know, some of the difficult things to do. And it's something that, we've addressed in the past. But since we're here in Deuteronomy, just flip over. I referred to it, but in chapter 13, Let's just look over here for just a moment and see what the real issue at hand is in this 13th chapter. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, the gods of the people. You want to know who the gods of the people are? We talked about it Wednesday night. The feminine movement. Every one of these racial organizations, from black power to white supremacists, and some of us in here, we get all worked up over that has nothing to do with us. We don't belong to these people, to this world. The Bible answers that question for us with all simplicity. In Christ, there is neither female or male, Jew or Gentile. Amen? Black, white, purple, Martian, it doesn't... If you're saved and you're in the body of Christ, your brother, hallelujah. And he goes on and he says, listen, if any of these seduce you to go after the gods of the people, do not, verse 8, consent to them. Do not pity them. Neither spare them, neither conceal them, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Now that's how we respond to anybody that's trying to get us to live less than what the kingdom of God requires of us. Obedience to the word of God. Anybody that is seducing you from being a simplistic doer of the word of God, this should be your attitude toward them and toward that environment. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. Amen? And so we look at all of these things and we ask them, what is it of the world? And we, so many of us have such trouble getting these things applied. We can quote scriptures and then make an obvious move contrary to something that we may have even just quoted because of not being able to apply it because of the idols of our own hearts. That's why, beloved, we need to have ears to hear. That's why we won't go into it right now. That's why God has put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to deal with what we just quoted earlier, those false prophets and false prophecies that are going to come in these last days and the majority of the people are going to accept and think they can do these things and still be right with God. How many different areas can you sin and still be right with God? How do churches deal with sin today? One of the better known churches in our little 10-mile radius here. Not here, say firsthand from the people. Young couple living in adultery, fornication. And the way that sin is dealt with in the church is they were removed from visible ministry and put into ministry just kind of out of the eyeshot of everybody. Move out. Repent. We can't even fellowship and eat with you if you call yourself a believer and continue to live under those circumstances. Amen? Amen. And we'll sit here and we'll say amen and we'll challenge that situation, and then we allow these other things to go on in our lives. We talked about the danger of that Wednesday night, that deceiving factor. So then therefore the Word of God is no longer the authority in our life. Our application of the Word of God is the final authority. Whether or not we decide to obey is left to our discretion. Oh, and we wouldn't say the whole word. We definitely, well, even in there we'll make some compromises for the Ten Commandments. Oh, God, help us. And it's gone on for so long, and the spirit of Antichrist is even so much stronger. And some of us, when we hear the pure word of God, like this passage in Deuteronomy, we just instantly try to find some way of getting a loophole to get out of it. And our first response ought to be, praise God. Thank God for His love and His protection for us and for our souls to give us these commandments that we could stay right with Him. Praise God. If you love me, keep my commandments, and they will not be grievous. Amen? It is not hard to keep all of the Word of God. It's a delight. I delight in your Word. I love your Word. It's more than my necessary food. It's holy. It's good. It's just. It's truth. Amen? Run to the Word of God and eat it. You know, we talked about one of the things Wednesday night about our marriages and how, you know, so many of us and we ask the question, why is it that we're off working here each one and we finally get time, we're out there and we justify why? Well, you know, because if I don't work, I can't have health insurance and I can't have this much money and we might not be able to do this and we might lose our house and we blah, 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 blah. So we got to both work. Okay, so here we are. And now we're sinning. If you know it's not good, it's contrary to the Word, and you do it, it's... Okay, let's just make sure we know what it is. And then we add sin to sin. Somebody made a comment to me in this discussion. You know, I'm just amazed that my wife can go out and work and do all of this and still come home and do this. Let me tell you something, dude. You're not getting her best. She's coming home wore out. You're getting leftovers. And leftovers does not agree with Genesis that says the wife is to delight in her husband. He's to get the first fruits. You guys are getting quiet, man. Is this Bible? And I know some are going, yeah, it's Bible, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't seem practical. It doesn't seem what everybody else. I don't care about any of that. Thy word is truth. Amen. And then we wonder why we're lacking faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by doing the Word of God. Our minds are renewed, Peter says, through obedience to the Word of God. The more you do it, the more you obey it, the more illumination there is, the more truth it becomes, the greater faith we have, and then we begin to start resembling those people in the book of Acts. We're not going to see the revival that we want to see by just praying an hour more a day. There's wedges of gold that are buried. There's stuff in our lives that need to get dug up and cast out. There's fears that control our lives. Some of us are driven and bound by such fear that our children might have to actually experience something adverse in their lives. God's going to bring them whatever's necessary to draw them to Himself. Amen? And I want to tell you something. You can't stop Him. You can have all the money you want. You can tie them to your apron stream and God can get to them. Why don't you just turn them over and do it God's way? Amen? Make it simple for everybody. And that's all I'm saying here. And we are so humanistic. We are so driven by the world's wisdom and we don't even know it. Our decisions are so easily made from the temporal, secular perspective that God's word isn't even given consideration in many of the things we do. Well, you know, that's the way I was raised up. Yeah, and look at you. Look at you. And now you're having to fall on your face before God and cry out, "Change me, Lord." Amen? Don't serve their gods. Deuteronomy 13 says. They've got their own way of doing things. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Corinthians, touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. What do you think? Do we really fear God like He deserves to be feared? Is there the reverence for God that should be there? It's totally lost in our society today. This thing we made reference to about Trump the other day. And all of the talk after that situation with that reporter is whether it's the poor reporter, the poor lady who had the microphone. That's not the issue. Those are the side issues. The issue is some chump stood up and defied and mocked and resisted the authority of the President of the United States. When the President says, sit down, sit down. Amen? Not in our society. I got rights. My opinion's as good as anybody else's. I have a right. You don't anymore. Your access to the place was taken away, wasn't it? Romans 13 is still in place. And whether you like Trump or don't like him, and whether it was the other guy, and I don't like him so much I won't even mention his name, the guy that just left. But when he was in that office demands the respect and authority. You have a right to disagree with him. You have a right not to agree with their philosophy. You have a right to be able to speak your situation. But you don't speak your opinion in his arena when he's the authority there and tells you that's enough. But you see, that's the society that we're living in. And that's the only reason I bring that. It is so common. And so many of us are under that same spiritual influence. I've talked about it before. We see it practically. We're looking for practical things. How do we apply this in our home? You apply it in your home this way. You don't sit down with your little five-year-old and take 30 minutes trying to justify to him and explain everything. And here's why we do this. And here's why we do this. And you know, there was a guy named Lot. And there was a... Okay? When I, as your dad, tell you to jump, you not only ask how high, you ask how long do you want me to stay up there? It creeps practically into our homes. We don't have to explain everything. They need to understand when you speak, they obey. Isn't that their Bible? Children, obey your parents. Simple job. Wives, submit to your husbands. Simple job. Husbands, love your wives and obey the lordship of Jesus. Simple job. He broke it down pretty clear. Well, you know, the Bible says that we're to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of our increase. And our well-meaning friends say, well, you know, I understand that, but you're in a situation right now where you really can't afford to do that. And if you would invest in this and that, then you'll have more to give to God. Wrong. You can't afford to honor God. You can't afford not to honor God. The widow's mite. The five loaves and two fishes. The empty pitchers. The loaf of the widow and her son that went to the prophet. Your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. Amen? Amen? So you see, we're not talking about a philosophy of and getting off on some of these specific applications. We're getting off of, or we're on the topic of keep all my commandments. You see, one of them, that commandment of a woman being the keeper of her home is not a minor commandment. And a major commandment is thou shalt not kill. The scripture speaks very clearly as it pertains to the word of God, that there are no sins that are greater than other sins. We have trouble with that. We really believe, we say we don't, but we believe that adultery is worse than gossip. You want me to prove it? We commit a lot less adultery than we do gossip. Sin is transgression of the law. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Beloved, we don't think so as the people that we are so well taught. And remember, we've been doing a lot of things right. Thank God for what he's been doing in our midst. Amen? We've been seeing God move. Our prayer lives have been transformed. Our outreach and our evangelism is the best that it's ever been. I believe God is bringing us into a greater unity as a fellowship. But beloved, we're facing times. We're raising up a generation that is going to come into opposition that has never been known on this planet. Are we preparing them for that hour? We may even squeak through and make it. What have we left with them? We don't see enough things as sin that we should see as sin. How about a haughty look? How about being a tale bearer? How about not forgiving when we've been forgiven? And so as we close for this morning, we just see these aspects of God calling us to give Him that reverence and that fear that His name deserves. We're all familiar with that passage in Isaiah 66:2. He's looking for, He wants to reveal Himself to a people that tremble at His word, praise God. Father, we ask You this morning to challenge our hearts like we've never been challenged before. Open our eyes to Your word and to the things in our lives that we know should be addressed, changed, repented of. And we make another excuse. If You love Me, keep My commandments and they will not be grievous. Do You love Me? More than these stuff. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Holy men of God trembled before You, quaked, fell on their faces as dead. How is it we can open this book and look into Your face and with lightness, with such assurance in our decision making, walk away unaffected, unchanged? The scripture says that holiness is perfected in us by the fear of God. We will not pray this weakness and lethargy away. We will obey it
away. You give the Holy Ghost to those that obey you, the scripture says. It's by obedience and fear of the Lord that are riches and honor and life. Awaken us from our slumber. There's more to be done. There's land to be taken. There's souls to be saved. There's miracles to manifest. Help us to hunger and thirst for that righteousness, and we will be filled. It's your word. We believe it. And we pursue it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for all that you are doing, for all that you will do in our lives. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, be a doer and not a hearer. Praise God.